Our scripture comes from Deuteronomy 31, verses 1 through 6. Then Moses went out and spoke these words to all Israel. I am now 120 years old, and I am no longer able to lead you. The Lord has said to me, you shall not cross the Jordan. The Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you, and you will take possession of their land. Joshua will also cross ahead of you, as the Lord said. And the Lord will do to them what he did to Sihon and Og, and the kings of the Amorites, whom he destroyed along their land. The Lord will deliver them to you, and you must do to them all that I have commanded. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen.
Well, this has been a wonderful morning. We've sung our hearts out. I think Joe's voice is a little hoarse because he's been singing so passionately. And I feel like our family has sufficiently been prayed over by Charles Edward, which was awesome. As I begin this farewell sermon, I have a couple of caveats that I need to share. Number one, I may get a little emotional. That's okay. Paul cried when he left the church in Ephesus, and I can do that too. Amen. Number two, this sermon may be a little bit long, but last week's sermon was a little bit short, so I've got rollover minutes, and I'm going to take advantage of them this morning. As I think back over the past 15 years here at Southside, my number one emotion is thankfulness. I'm so thankful that the Lord led Lindsay and I to come to Southside in Fort Worth. And if we had to make the decision all over again, I would choose to come here again. Over the past 2 months, there have been so many of you that have blessed our family and affirmed us in many ways. You've sent us emails and cards and notes. You've taken us out to dinner. You've given us gifts. You've even thrown parties for us. You've just made us feel so special and so loved, and I just want to say to all of you, thank you. Thank you for affirming and loving us these past few months. And really, I shouldn't think it would be any different, because Southside has had a long history of loving and caring for their ministers, and that's the way it's been over the past 15 years for us. And so I just want to start there by saying thank you. There are several that I want to publicly thank for their partnership with Lindsay and I over the past 15 years. First of all, I want to thank the guys upstairs, Justin Grimsley and Kim Autry. And before them, Jason Jarrett and Brett Fitch and Joe Tommy. These guys have been a preacher's best friend. They helped me with my sound. They helped me with my PowerPoint. They helped me with my videos. They even helped me sometimes with my dress. I mean, they just do everything. And I just want to say to all of you, thank you, and I appreciate you. I want to thank the secretaries that I've been able to work with these 15 years. I started with Elaine Lawrence, who was the editor. She actually helped edit some of my doctoral projects. And then I had Cindy Maloney, who made my sermon series come alive with her art. She was the artist. And then lately I've had Dawn Thornburg, who has been very diligent, and she has been a blessing, not only to me, but to our whole church. And I just want to say, I'm thankful to have worked with each one. I'm thankful for our ministry staff who I've been able to work with. These are good people who love you and are going to keep loving and serving our church after I'm gone. And I want to just say thank you to Matthew and Jana and Lance, John and Chris, William, Keith, and Angelica. I want to also mention that I'm thankful for Dan and Kathy Leaf. Got to work with them for 12 or 13 years, and They were just such a blessing. It's so great to work with a counselor. You got an issue, just go see them. And you can talk with them. And there are many occasions where if there was some issue in ministry, I didn't know what to do. I just watched Dan and watch what he would do and follow his lead. And so I'm just so thankful for them. I'm thankful for all the elders that I've worked with. I told you I was going to get emotional. Thankful for Joe and Emily Bullock. I'm wearing Joe's tie this morning in honor of him. Joe and Emily came to Memphis to offer me the job to Southside. I called Joe to tell him that I was coming. And when I was here, there were many occasions where he would take me out to lunch and was just a mentor to me, and not only to me, but to our family. And I miss him deeply. Thankful for him and Emily. I'm thankful for the other elders that I served with, Johnny and Maria Rodriguez, Monty and Linda McNair, Kent and Marilyn Hatcher, and Bobby and Cindy Steed. And I'm thankful for the group that I've been serving with currently. These men and their wives, they have loved our family. They have cared for us during our difficult times. They've stood by us. We've been a team, and I'm thankful for all of you. And so I just want to mention you by name. I'm thankful for Barry and Beth Riley, Kent and Joan Smith, Alan and Jan Heggie, Brent and Jama Davis, John and Corey Cummings, Virgil and Kazette Palmer, Stephen K. Fields, and Jim and Dana Gardner. I'm thankful for my family. My parents are here with me this morning. I think my mom has probably listened to every sermon that I've preached. And I just appreciate y'all's support for the work here. I'm thankful for Lindsay's parents. They were here a couple of weeks ago. I think they love Southside maybe even more than we do. They love this church. And I appreciate them. I'm thankful for my children. I went over this several times, and it wasn't that bad. Some kids are embarrassed to be known as the preacher's kids, but these three haven't, because they love this church. You know, when Lindsay and I started having kids, we made the decision that I would never tell a story about my kids in one of my sermons unless we all agreed that it was okay. And one time I had told a story, I think it was about Bethany, in one of my sermons, and Lydia came to me afterwards, and she said, "Daddy, when are you going to tell a story about me in one of your sermons?" And I think that illustrates their attitude. You guys have been so supportive, and I'm so proud of all three of you. And finally, I'm thankful for Lindsay. It's not easy to be married, and it's really not easy to be married to a preacher, and it's extremely not easy to be married to a preacher named Steve. And she's done that, and she's done it really well. She's been a wonderful partner in ministry. And, you know, the preacher's wife doesn't get much notoriety, as I'm the one up front. I'm the one everybody knows. I'm the one everybody sees. I'm the one everybody pats on the back. And she's the one in the background who are getting the three kids ready to come to church by herself. She's done it for 15 years. And so this morning, I want to honor her. Okay. I knew this day was coming. I didn't know when. I didn't know how. I didn't know for what purpose, but I knew it would come. I think it dawned on me a few years ago. We were at Camp Blue Haven, and Lindsay and I were hiking with some high school girls, and I was actually hiking beside Faith Davis. And I was making conversation. I said, "Well, what do you want to be when you grow up?" And she gave me some answer. And then she said, "Well, Steve, what do you want to be when you grow up?" And I said, "Well, I think I'm kind of doing it." But it dawned on me that moment that I wouldn't do this forever. Rarely does a preacher stay at one church his whole career, and I knew that there would come a time when it would be my last day here. I think it's helped me to be a part of a church that has such a great history. Here at Southside, there have been preachers who have come and gone for years and decades, and I understood that it'd be the same with me, that I've come and there would become a time where I would go. that I would carry the torch for a little while, but then I would pass it on to someone else. When I first came here, Dan Leaf pulled me aside and he said, "Steve, a few years ago we remodeled this auditorium, and when we did, we pulled back the carpet and we all wrote scriptures on the floor." And Dan said, I came to this spot right here and I wrote the scripture, 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, where it says, "Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction." And Dan told me, "That's your charge. It's to stand at this place and preach the word." And I understood that for the time that I was here, I was to be faithful. And that's what I've tried to do. But I knew there would come a day where I would pass that torch on to someone else. And that day is today. That I wasn't to hang on to this pulpit too tightly. It wasn't mine. It wasn't something I owned. It was simply a gift, a privilege for a season. And then it'd be time to pass it on to someone else. And that time is today. And so what should I say to all of you? Well, to prepare for this day, I read and I reread Deuteronomy chapters 29 through 34. We've been studying through the book of Deuteronomy, the book that Moses, where he gives speeches to prepare the people of Israel for the promised land, a land that he's not going to. And at the end, the last six chapters, it's really where Moses is at the end. It's time for him to finish, to hang it up. And so I read that passage just to see, okay, how does Moses say goodbye? What does he do? What does he say? And one thing that I noticed is that through those six chapters, God is intricately involved in that transition. God does a lot of things in those six chapters. In fact, I counted 10. He speaks, he calls, he appears, he commands, he writes, he commissions, he leads, he shows, and then he buries. God does a lot in this transition, and it's almost as if God wanted Moses and Israel to understand that I'm governing, I'm overseeing this transition. I'm going to walk with you through this transition. Anytime there's a transition, it can be stressful, it can be traumatic, whether it's a change in presidency or a change in mayor or a change in preacher. We can feel a sense of anxiety, a sense of uncertainty. We can be nervous about the future. And I know that Israel felt the same way. And Moses, who had led them for so long, now he was leaving. And what's going to happen? Can Joshua handle it? Are we going to enjoy this new land? And so it's almost as if God says, "Don't worry, I'm going to walk with you through this time of transition." When I think back to the bookends of my time here at Southside, I see God walking with me and our church during times of transition. You know, when we came here 15 years ago, my plan was not to come here. My plan was to go up to the north and to preach in some kind of mission situation up in the north U.S. And so I interviewed at four churches. I interviewed with Groton, Connecticut, Detroit, Michigan, Rochester, New York, and Fort Worth, Texas. And I only interviewed here for practice. I was just going to get some practice, and then I was going to go up north. But God was involved in that. And he used three things to change my heart and Lindsay's heart. I think Lindsay actually wanted to come to Fort Worth just when we interviewed. But God had to work on my heart a little bit. And there were three things. Number one was your love. When the elders announced that they wanted to offer me the job, you guys started to send me notes and cards and emails, and I have saved all of those cards. 15 years ago, I got a stack of cards saying, "Please come to Southside. We would love for you to be our preacher." Jim and Dana Sager sent us a whole box of all kinds of stuff from Fort Worth, and we saw in that this church has a lot of love. We want to be a part of a church like that. Then number two, we saw your faith, that the search process narrowed down to two people. And there was one person who really wanted to come here, and he needed to know quickly if he was going to come, if he had the job or not. Whereas I needed to go on all these other interviews. I needed to see what God had in store on these interviews. And so I wasn't sure if I was going to come, and that presented a dilemma to the elders. Are we going to go ahead and hire this person who we know wants to come, or are we going to wait for Steve? And after a time of prayer, the elders said, "We're going to wait. We're going to wait." And they took a little bit of flack for that because they had to let that other candidate go. But when I saw the elders do that, I saw, wow, this group, they have faith. They step out on a limb. I want to work with leaders like that. But then number three, I saw your mission. I saw that actually, though we're in the South in the Bible Belt here in Fort Worth, in the urban areas of the city, it's not the Bible Belt. And I saw that we could be a powerful force for the mission of God right here in this city. And God worked through those things to shape my heart and to call us to Southside. He was walking through that transition with us. And I believe he's doing the same thing right now. Like Paul told the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, he said he felt compelled by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. And I feel compelled by the Spirit to go to Memphis to train ministers so that there could be more Southsides like we have here. And I see God's fingerprints on this move as well. And I believe that God is going to walk with this church and with us during this time of transition, that I think he's going to, because he's called me, he's going to bless us as we go, but he's going to bless all of you who we say goodbye to. I really believe that. And I find comfort in that, that just like God was intricately involved in the transition with Israel, I believe it's the same way, and it will be the same way here. Well, as God is helping Moses through that transition, one thing he asked Moses to do is he asked him to give a charge to the people of Israel, to remind them of the covenant that he has called them to. And so in chapter 29, all the way through the end of chapter 30, Moses gives this charge. It's a summary of the book of Deuteronomy. In fact, you could argue that those two chapters are a summary of the whole Pentateuch. It's where Moses brings everything together, everything of his life, he brings it together in those two chapters. And where he starts that charge is he starts with memory. He reminds the people of all the things that the Lord has brought them through. And I want to do a little bit of that with all of you. You know, when I came here to Southside, my dream was that we would be a missional church, a church of mission, mercy, and transformation, a church that was active in the neighborhood, active in the community, calling people to the gospel, showing mercy to those in need. And it's been amazing to see that come about to some extent. I think about the many baptisms we've had here. There have been many Sundays where we've had a lot of people that were decided to follow Christ and put on Christ in baptism. And it's been amazing to see all those baptisms, isn't it, over the past 15 years. One Sunday that really sticks out to me was about my first year or two that I was here at Southside. We had a Sunday where just everything kind of came together, and we had, I think it was 6 baptisms all at once. Kathy Leaf says it was 8. I think it was 6. Maybe it was somewhere in the middle. But it was, we had several coming down the aisle wanting to be baptized. And one of the ladies that came forward, she was in a wheelchair. She was paralyzed. And so we had to carry her up the stairs. And we're going to need 2 people to do the baptism. And so Dan and I both get in the waders. And I get one shoulder and he gets another shoulder. And we carry her into the baptistry. And I don't mean any disrespect, but because she didn't have the use of her legs, she was pretty heavy. And it was hard to carry her, and I don't know if Dan appreciated this, but I said, Dan, you take this one, and you know how whenever you're holding something really heavy, it's kind of hard to talk, you know, because you got to do it. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? I know I'll baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then we lowered our shoulder to lower her in the water. Well, one rule about doing a baptism is you never lower a shoulder. I'm going to teach my students this at Harding School. You do not lower. I lowered my shoulder, and the water came into my waders, and all my clothes were soaked. Well, I thought later, I need to get prepared for a Sunday like that. And so someone went and got a pair of pants from the clothing room, and I have kept those pants in my office for the last 14 years, just in case there was an accident. And I have passed those pants on to Dawn Thornburg. She is going to save them for the next person. So if anybody needs pants, we got them in the office. We got you taken care of. But those were great memories of crowded baptistries. Crowded baptistries. As people were giving their life to Jesus. I think about our passion for short-term missions. Probably one of the first short-term mission trips that Southside went on was my first or second year here when we went to Mexico to Saltillo, Mexico. We were going to do a building project there. And we had a big group. I didn't know what I was doing. I was young. I was nervous. I had planned that we would come back through Reynosa, Mexico, because we were supporting a missionary there. And his church was going to provide food for us, for our group. But they were a small group, and we were a big group, and we just overwhelmed them. They weren't prepared. They weren't ready. It was hard for them to get the food out, and we had to go. Time was getting away from us. We had to get on, cross the border over to San Antonio to spend the night. I didn't know what to do. And so I go to Johnny Rodriguez. I say, Johnny, help. And so Johnny went back to that kitchen, and I don't know what he said. Andale listo, something like that. And they started bringing tamales out, and we started eating. I'm thankful for Johnny for that day. But that started a passion for many of us. As we've gone to Mexico and Ukraine and Tanzania and Honduras and Ecuador and Guatemala and Zambia and Croatia and many other places. And those trips trained us so that we could be about cross-cultural missions right here in Fort Worth. I think about our benevolent works. How we've passed out food and clothes and helped the needy and provided school supplies and Christmas toys and Thanksgiving turkeys. How we've mentored children through Academy 4 and tutored kids on Tuesday nights. Kids Hope and putting a chaplain at one safe place. Starting a clinic in our parking lot. And so many other ways that we've just tried to be a church of mercy that blesses our neighborhood. I remember when we started that clinic, I got a call from someone in the community that heard that we were doing that, wanted to talk to me about it. And so I met with the lady, and she said, I'm a community organizer, and how did y'all put that clinic together? I just want to know how you did that. So I was explaining all of the different pieces and parts and how it was happening. And she stopped me and said, hang on a second. Why are y'all doing this? Why are y'all doing this? And I explained to her, because we want to be a church of mercy. We want to be a church of mercy. I think about all of our attempts at racial reconciliation. I had lunch with Brother Victor Norris just a couple of weeks ago, and he is ready for our churches to meet. Let me just say that to all of you. And one of my favorite memories was when we had that racial unity service here at Southside, and the building was packed, wall-to-wall people. And from many different churches, many different backgrounds. And Joe stood up here and he started leading a song, and it was so loud. I mean, the singing was so loud. The rafters, it was shaking. And Victor Norris leaned into my ear and he said, Steve, I'm so glad you listened to the Spirit to bring us together. And I loved that line because it was the Spirit who was bringing us together. That's what the Spirit does. It brings people together, brings unity, brings reconciliation. You know, over the years, there's been marriages reconciled, children loved. There's been teaching in the jails and food for the hungry and clothing for the naked. Addicts have been set free. The deaf have been welcomed. College students have been adopted. There's been support for the grieving. There's been mentoring for the broken, and on it goes. And that's all happened because the love of God has been emanating from this body. It's been amazing to be a part of it. And yes, there's been hardships along the way. I think about the tragedies that we've endured. I still remember when Tony Hillegas fell right in our parking lot as he was unloading the food pantry truck and then died later at JPS. I think about Mike Thornburg, who we lost in an accident. Little Tate Pickett, who didn't make it past a few breaths. Layla Tindall and her struggle with mental illness. And then lately, Joe Bullock and Jake McLeod. And others through COVID. These have been hard moments, but the Lord has helped us through. I really like what John Claypool said in his book after he lost his 9-year-old daughter to leukemia. Someone came up to him and said, Did your faith help you through this valley that you went through? How did your faith help you? And John responded by saying this. He said, well, God didn't give me what I wanted, but he gave me what I needed. And over the past 15 years, there have been times where God hasn't given us what we wanted, but he's always given us what we needed. And we've needed different things at different times. As it says in Isaiah 40, sometimes we needed wind under our wings so we could soar. And I think about the Day of Hope. I think about the Crusade for Christ. I think about those crowded baptistries. Those were days where we were soaring then, church, and God was helping us. But then sometimes we needed energy to run and not grow weary. And so we've run to the halfway houses, and we've run to the treatment programs, and we've run to the neighborhood schools. We've run to the homeless shelters. We've run all around the world, and the Lord has given us the strength to run and not grow weary. But there's been times where we just needed to walk. Walk and not be faint. To just put one foot in front of the other. When Kent got Ebola, I prayed and fasted like many of you, probably more than you ever have in your life, and we walked by the grace of God. When COVID disrupted our church and our lives and took some of us, we walked. We put one foot in front of the other. And by the grace of God, we walked and we didn't faint. But the Lord has given us not always what we needed or wanted, but He's given us what we needed. And in all of that, God was at work. He was guiding us by His Spirit, He was sustaining us by His love, and He was using us by His grace. He was using us by His grace. We've been partners in the gospel together, and I don't want y'all to forget that. I don't want y'all to forget the mission that God has called this church to. That this church is not here by accident. That God has brought you here for a purpose. And He's given you a calling. You know, here at Southside, everything we do, we put the steeple out there. It's our logo. It's our brand. And the reason why it's our brand is because of a story that happened 20 years or more ago when the Salvation Army was across the street and there were women and children who were struggling with addiction who were there, and we were going over there trying to minister to them. Some of our women were doing that. And one night they went over there for a Bible study, and the light in our steeple was out. And the ladies at the Salvation Army said, What's wrong with the light? Is everything okay with the light? He says, oh, everything's fine with the light. We're just getting it cleaned. It's going to be back on soon. And the lady said, oh, good. Because every night when we say our prayers, we turn towards that light because that light gives us hope. And I've believed that we could be that church where the light of Christ is radiating out and giving hope to our city. I believed that. I loved that. And I don't want you to forget it. When Moses comes to the end of his charge, the end of chapter 30, he presents before the people of Israel a choice. He says, you have before you life and death. And then he says, choose life. And Southside, you have a choice. You can be a church of missionaries, or a church of grumblers. You can be a church where the light shines for the city, or where there's a candle that's put under a bowl. You can be a church that takes the gospel to the streets, or a church that keeps the gospel in the pews. You can be a church that's all about the mission of God, or a church that's focused on yourselves. And brothers and sisters, choose mission. Choose mission. The church is at her best when God is using the church to be a redemptive presence in the city. That's when the church is at her best. And so choose mission. As Moses finishes his charge, he turns towards the future. He begins to speak to the people, and then he speaks to Joshua. And his message is simple. Be strong and courageous. And Moses says that for three reasons. Number one, because he knows God's in charge of the transition. Number two, because he knows their future is bright, the land of Canaan. And then number three, because he knows that the God who has been with them in the wilderness will go before them in the land of Canaan. Brothers and sisters, I believe that God's involved in this transition. I also believe that the future is bright. It's bright. That this church is going to emerge from the pandemic with great vision and energy and mission. I mean, just look at everybody in this room. The future is bright here at Southside. And at the right time and in the right way, God is going to call someone to be the preacher here at Southside. And it'll be a little different. You might not quote as many Greek and Hebrew words in the sermon. That's okay. But I hope that your heart will be open to love him and his family just like you have been open to love me and my family. And that you will work with him and you'll serve with him just like you have worked and served with us. And brothers and sisters, I also believe that the God who has walked with us these past 15 years, he will go before you into the future. The God who called me to Southside will call someone else to Southside. The God who brought people here seeking hope in the past will continue to bring people here seeking hope in the future. The God who started new ministries in the past will start new ministries in the future. The God who gave us what we needed in the past will also give you what you need in the future. And because I believe these things to be true, I say to all of you, be strong and courageous. When Moses is done, and it's time for him to walk the lonely, long road up to Mount Nebo, he pauses. And he turns and he offers a blessing on the people. And so before our family gets in the car and drives the long, lonely road of Interstate 30, I want to offer a blessing on all of you. I want to start with, that's Tate Adair in the back. I want to start with the elders. I'm going to ask all the elders at this time to stand. Stand where you are. May the God who has called you to be shepherds sustain you in the months and years ahead with vision and purpose and a sense of mission. May he guide you in your difficult decisions. May he help you in your hard conversations. May he fill you up so that you can pastor and love this church family well. Know that you're not alone, but the Lord who has led this church for 129 years will continue to lead you as you move into the future. Our family loves you, and Jesus is so proud of you. Amen. And then at this time, I want to offer a blessing for the whole church. And so I ask all of you at this time to stand. Thanks. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers. That I pray for you. I pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you, and even you in the balcony, he will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Our family loves you, and Jesus is so proud of you. Amen. Let's pray together. Almighty God, I've walked alongside of these people, my wife and our children as well. We've walked alongside of these people for 15 years. We've loved them and they've loved us. And now at this time, we commit them to you. We ask that you would protect them, that you would watch over them, that you would guide them, that you would call them, and that you would lead them. This is our prayer in the name of Jesus. And we say together, amen. We're going to sing a song of invitation. If you would like prayer, encouragement, we'll have elders and ministers up here. If you want to be baptized into Christ, we'd love to welcome you to God's family this morning. Please come now as together we stand and sing.